The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 27th chapter. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You've said so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to him, or to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and they put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before Jesus, they mocked him, and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him, and took the reed, and they struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of that robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene. His name was Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over Jesus there. And over Jesus' head, they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right, one on the left. And those who passed by derided Jesus, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked Jesus, saying, "He saved others, yet he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and then we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he desires him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, "Wait, Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Today is both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. We are experiencing the peak of joy in the life of the church and the peak of sorrow. Both the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, glorious as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as well as celebrating where his true glory is shown by his death on the cross. But we are also celebrating the joy, the glory of the public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, in both the rite of confirmation for Joe Good and also the public profession of faith and transfer of two more who would also like to join our public confession of faith at this church and become members of Christ's body. Traditionally, this is Confirmation Sunday. Because of the bittersweetness, what I was mentioning before, both the highs and the lows, it matches both the highs and the lows of the Christian's life. Sometimes you revel in the joy and the glory and the clear days and the sunshine. Jesus riding triumphantly into Jerusalem, palms waving. You feel great. Your life is going well. You have lots of plans for the future, etc. Other times in your Christian life, you feel like you're sharing in the very passion of Christ's suffering on the cross. Maybe you have a diagnosis. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're dealing with stress, anxiety. Do you remember the time that you were confirmed? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Maybe you did, maybe you weren't. I'm sure it was a high day for you, even if it was a low time in your life. I'm not sure what home life was like for you. Maybe it was a great time and it matched the high of your confirmation day. But maybe you and your family or your parents were going through something. But maybe it was the happiest day and last day of your time of innocence that you remember. But Joe, I urge you to remember this day. It may feel very significant. It may feel insignificant. It may feel high. It may feel low. But ponder and think of those highs and those lows in your life right now. Remember both the palms and the passion. Remember both the triumph and the humility. All of you, when things are going really well, remember to humble yourself and give thanks to Jesus Christ. This came from his hand. But when things are going awful, remember that for joy, he gave up his life and rose for you. And he would do it all, even if it was only for you. Today is about pure joy, both the palm and the passion. It's about the sublime bliss of receiving your Savior, the King of your life, in both his body and his blood for the forgiveness of your sins. Whether you think about him coming in on a donkey as king, or him ruling as king from his cross as he suffers and dies. It's about the joy of the most simplest way that Jesus could come to us, his words and his sacraments. And Joe, it's about the joy of you and Eden doing one of the most intimate things that a husband and wife can do. Commune with one another at the Lord's table, united in both belief and in practice. Treasure these things in your heart. Share them with your friends, your neighbors, and your future children. For this altar is also the throne that Jesus chose to reign from and reign even now in your heart and in heaven from above, across. Jesus has always been with you, whether it be your high times or your lowest of lows. But today highlights where you can look, where you can know for sure, where you can receive him most clearly. All of us, we've all experienced lows. Some of us in this past year, some of us in the past month, some of us in the past week. Joe, I know that you are a man well acquainted with grief, but today is about the way that the man who is despised and rejected by men, who is a man of sorrows, who is well acquainted with grief, has surely borne ours and carried our sorrows, as Isaiah writes. Today is about Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. Jesus redeems your suffering. Jesus dies with your suffering, and he rises. Your suffering does not. This life, forgiveness, salvation, it is all won for you on his throne, the cross. And it is delivered to you by faith, by word, by word attached to water, and by word attached to bread and wine. Today, I will be acting in my office as an overseer. It's why I'm wearing this cope. I will be publicly attesting to and confirming the faith that Joe received in his baptism. Something that we all do when we remember that Jesus Christ is Lord, believe it in our heart, and profess it with our mouths. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Familiar words. Familiar words. We began our service with those words from the Gospel of John. It's interesting to think about how those same crowds, and John mentions this, who watched Jesus raise his dear friend Lazarus from the dead, they sang those words that day. As King Jesus, the son of David, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and that's the most significant reason why he rode in on a donkey, because King Solomon did. And when King Solomon, the son of David, the king, rode in on a donkey, and then Jesus did 1,000 years later, they could look at Jesus and say, Jesus Christ, Hosanna, the son of David is here. the true son of David. The way that Solomon, even though he was the son of David by blood, could not be, because King Solomon sinned. But Jesus could not. He was perfect. And so while it may seem silly that we processed in and I went all the way up into the altar and then came back out again and then came back in again, that's what Jesus did that Sunday before that first Easter. He processed down from the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley and came up riding on a donkey and entered into the gate of Jerusalem that was also a gate right into the temple. He entered the temple on your behalf as your king, your prophet, your priest, your Messiah. And then he came out again and did a whole week of ministry, instituted the Lord's Supper, went into the Garden of Gethsemane, was betrayed, and came back again. But Jesus, your king and your priest and your sacrifice, would make that sacrifice not in the temple on Mount Zion. He would make the ultimate sacrifice on Mount Calvary. Joe, you may be asking, what's in it for me? That's what they always trained us to preach about at seminary. What's in it for me? Write it at the top of your notes. What's in it for me? Well, Joe, the day that you were baptized, and everyone else, the day that you were baptized, the day that the crowds watched you be raised from the dead, the day that Jesus raised you, called you out of the tomb in baptism to new life, what's cool is the crowds also, there's like a 90% chance, 100% chance with Joe, that those crowds also sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Why? Because after he was baptized, the crowds celebrated and received the Lord's Supper. They sang those words the same way that the crowds did as they prepared to receive Jesus the King. From the joy and the palms to the passion. Baptism to Lord's Supper. Entry into Jerusalem to death on the cross. And you know what? You also have been raised from the dead. You are baptized. So, as we say in the communion liturgy, lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. We go from the joy and the palms to the passion and back out again to resurrection. Throw down your cloaks. Sing Hosanna. For you are about to receive the King in his supper. He is coming for you. John writes that the disciples didn't understand what was happening as it was happening. When Jesus rode in on a donkey, they didn't get it. But then John notes that when Jesus was glorified, when he was crucified on the cross, it all snapped into place. And they remembered all that had been written and all that had been prophesied. And they applied it to their lives. This is about Jesus crucified for my sins, and I'm receiving him now. The Christian life remains a lifelong process of learning. It's why, even though most of you, all of you have been confirmed, all of you went to Sunday school, why I continue to encourage you to come to adult Bible study, to make it a lifetime of learning. Why I continue to urge that we teach children the faith, because in teaching the children and the simple, we remember and take to heart for ourselves the scriptures. So that as we learn and as we reflect on those words, we also would recognize the joy and glory of Jesus Christ in his supper at the breaking of the bread, in his words, As we remember the water of baptism where we were saved, as each day our Bibles are opened and we are shown Jesus. Jesus is about to share all of the benefits of his most glorious sacrifice with you. But first, he was tried by Pilate in place of you for your sins, though he did not commit them. Yet for joy, he was condemned in place of Barabbas, in place of you. He was mocked. The soldiers pretended to worship as they spat on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." Which, by the way, is why, though I bow for the incarnation during the creed, I stand up straight as we confess that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, for the soldiers knelt and mocked him in praise. And then that ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And that's good news. It's the most despairing words of the scripture, because God the Father truly did forsake Jesus Christ. The Trinity, the perfect love of the Trinity, was broken for a moment when the Father forsook the Son in a way that Abraham was not called to, as he sacrificed his son Isaac, yet Isaac was spared. Jesus was forsaken, but you will never be forsaken. You will never be forgotten. You will never be alone. You can never be alone, forsaken, or forgotten ever again. You are in Christ Jesus. The temple curtain has been torn in two. The earth has shaken. The rocks are split. The tombs are open. The saints who have died are raised. You who were dead in your sin and trespasses have been raised in baptism. The centurion, the unbeliever, the pagan cries out in faith, "Truly this was the Son of God." Now, when you see Jesus in his glory on this altar, remember all that was written and all that was prophesied of him. Remember the palms and the passion. Joe, but all the beloved of Holy Spirit, when you were little, your parents, at Jesus' command, brought you to Jesus. Now, Joe, you're asked by Jesus to come to him in faith. Jesus asks you today, all of you, as he comes to you in bread and wine, body and blood, do you want to go away as well? And I quote there John chapter 6. Do you want to go away as well? I pray and I know that you all will answer with Simon Peter his bold confession, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so, in the name that God has highly exalted and bestowed on Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, the name at which every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, the name that every tongue will and should confess, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, to the glory of the Father. In that name, may we throw down our cloaks and sing Hosanna, for the King is about to come to you in all his glory. Amen.